Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Monday, February 19th, 2024. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. And we lead off today with a tweet that I posted, which actually leads into a big, breaking, shocking story. But let me read this for you first. Here it is. Censorship has consequences. The former CEO of YouTube, Susan Wojcicki, has now lost her 19-year-old son to what appears to be a street drug overdose. He was found dead in a dorm room on a college campus, by the way. Continuing, Wojcicki is the tech tyrant who spent her career at YouTube silencing and deplatforming people who warned about the open borders fiasco and how it allows drug trafficking to flourish. Censorship has consequences. If you silence the voices trying to protect America, don't be surprised when things get worse and eventually end up affecting you, too. It's a similar story with Google. They censor the truth about preventing and reversing cancer with natural medicine. Every Google employee who dies of cancer actually dies from ignorance and tyranny because they silenced the very voices that could have saved them. And got a huge positive response, by the way, from that tweet. I thought actually I'd get a little more pushback on that, but most people agree with me by far. Like 99.8% of people agreed with me on that. So here's the deal. Susan Wojcicki was a tech tyrant. I mean, she still is a tech tyrant. She's just no longer the CEO of YouTube. During her tenure at YouTube, she deplatformed the very people who were trying to stop the flow of illegal drugs and human trafficking, drug trafficking, weapon trafficking into the United States. She called that hate speech. She was very concerned about hate speech, as she wanted to do everything in her power to deplatform anyone accused of hate speech. And what did she want on YouTube instead of, quote, hate speech? Well, she promoted or allowed algorithmically to be promoted channels that advocated recreational drug use. So there were all kinds of channels on YouTube after she removed people like myself. By the way, I've been deplatformed from YouTube for a very long time. And they won't even let my new show, Decentralized TV, on the platform. I mean, talk about vicious, malicious censorship. But if you promote drug use, oh, that's no problem on YouTube, according to Susan Wojcicki. If you promote, you know, experimenting with drugs and all kinds of marijuana and who knows what other kind of drugs, then you can get top billing on YouTube. That's allowed. That's not considered hate speech, is it? No, that's considered, I don't know, lefty or something. It's considered progressive to promote recreational drug use. That is, until your own son dies from a drug overdose, which is a tragedy. And I don't want any mother to have to go through a tragedy like that, which is why I argue daily for securing the border. It's people like me that are trying to protect America and even to protect the children of the tyrants. We don't want the son or daughter of a YouTube CEO or even Susan Wojcicki. We don't want her son to die. We don't wish death upon anyone. We want all people to grow up in a society that's free, that also has the rule of law functioning, right? A society that is civil. And we don't advocate recreational drug use, even though YouTube does, Google does. I wonder if Susan Wojcicki will sue YouTube for advocating the kind of activities that led to the death of her own son, even though she was the CEO who actually pushed those policies. And by the way, karma is a bitch. When you unleash tyranny and censorship upon the world, and you think that you're insulated from it, guess what? Eventually, it comes back and it bites you in the ass. And that's exactly what just happened to Susan Wojcicki. And I pray for her, and I pray for her family, pray for the soul of her son, another victim to the culture of censorship by the tech tyrants, a culture that Susan Wojcicki represents as almost a poster child of techno tyranny. It also underscores the fact that the left is a suicide cult. Their policies are suicidal. They love open borders. which means they, in effect, are complicit in human trafficking and drug trafficking, which, of course, results in fentanyl availability in the United States. And it's highly likely, although not yet proven, but it's highly likely that her son died from a fentanyl overdose at UC Berkeley, because it's fentanyl that is lacing the other drugs. And fentanyl is, of course, fatal at very low doses. And in many cases, a person might think they're smoking marijuana or something like that, and it ends up being laced with fentanyl, and then they're dead. Well, where did that fentanyl come from? It came across the wide open border that people like Susan Wojcicki have been complicit in promoting through their censorship policies of censoring anyone who opposed open borders, okay? So, it's a suicide cult, folks. And I'm telling you, these CEOs of Google and YouTube and Facebook, they are evil people. They are evil people. Their intent is to silence those who are good. Their intent is to shut down people who love America, or people who love the rule of law, or people who want to protect children. It's people like Susan Wojcicki who allowed grooming videos all over YouTube, which are essentially pedophilia videos. How many children have not only been killed, but have been raped because of the censorship and the selective promotion of video content on YouTube or Google by CEOs just like Susan Wojcicki? How many children have been raped? How many children are dead? And we don't know the answers to those questions, but I assure you it's more than zero. And that's what leftists are. They are tyrants, and they are suicide cultists, and their policies are coming back to destroy their own families. Which is, of course, kind of dark irony, given that they want to destroy your family. They want to destroy America. They want to destroy Western civilization. Guess what? They are accomplishing what they set out to do. And they are not immune from the effects of it, are they? By the way, related to this, on the tech topic, I posted a really great podcast yesterday that you might want to listen to. It's about 1 hour. Here's the title. You'll laugh at this. Woke AI developers who think men can get pregnant fret about AI's lack of reasoning capabilities. That's right. They're very unhappy, these woke AI developers. They're very unhappy because their AI models don't reason very well. And yet these developers, almost all of whom are woke, they think men can get pregnant. They think men can have babies. They think carbon dioxide is bad for plants. I mean, these people are suffering from what I call in the podcast, you should probably listen to it if you want to hear more, I call it a mass hallucination across human networks. And what's funny is that AI developers are trying to get their AI language models to stop hallucinating, but they themselves are filled with mass hallucinations, such as the idea that open borders is a great policy, and that men can become women and women can become men, you know, the climate change lunacy and all kinds of things like that. So they're never going to get the hallucinations out of their models when they themselves hallucinate like crazy. And I even said in that podcast that as soon as we achieve AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, the AGI machines will actually work hard to try to eliminate hallucinations from the human knowledge that they were trained on in the first place. It's the humans that have the worst hallucinations, not the machines. So, by the way, how many times have you heard of stories of, let's say, left-wing, you know, Democrat lawmakers getting carjacked because of their open borders policies, carjacked by an illegal alien? Yeah, it's happening more and more. Democrats are seeing their own cities turn into crime-infested crap holes because of their own policies. And yes, their family members are going to be killed off by violence or deadly drugs like fentanyl or what have you because of their policies. There were a lot of tweets about Susan Wojcicki and her son's death from what appears to be a drug overdose. I'll just read a couple of them for you here. Quote, "Isn't it ironic that the woman who insisted on being the moralizing mom for the entire world through draconian censorship practices failed as a mom to keep her own son from the path of drug abuse and death?" Yes, it is very, very sad. Another quote from Owen Benjamin. He says, brutal. I feel for her, even though I've talked a lot of crap about her. I was targeted by Susan for my, quote, hate and misinformation and kicked off YouTube. I remember once got a strike for doing a stream about the Sackler family and the opioid crisis. Apparently, that was flagged as hate. So, yeah, if you criticize Big Pharma or you criticize drug use, no, that's hate speech. You get kicked off. But if you promote drug use, and there's all kinds of channels on YouTube that talk about tripping out on DMT and tripping out on ayahuasca and whatever. Oh, those are never censored. Mm-mm. Because it's all about destroying society. You see, Google and YouTube are here to contribute to the depopulation of humanity and the destruction of the human race. That's their mission at this point. Not to share information or knowledge or uplift humanity, but to destroy humanity. So Susan Wojcicki was the CEO of an evil satanic corporation whose mission, real mission, is to destroy humanity. Guess what? It looks like your policies have worked. All right, now moving on, let's go to France for a minute. Check this out. Opposition to mRNA injections is now considered a crime in France. This is a news story on Natural News. Violators face 45,000 euros in a fine and up to 3 years in prison for questioning the science. Mm-hmm. So if you oppose mRNA vaccines, you're going to be accused of, quote, sectarian aberrations. What? Yeah, a sectarian aberration. And there's a doctor in France, Dr. Kat Lindley, says it will not tolerate any criticism of the therapeutic treatments which will be recommended or made obligatory by the state. Any person who dares to openly criticize these therapies will be liable to fines and imprisonment. It's known as Article 4. Wow. Did you know that you're going to go to jail in France if you question the effectiveness of these so-called vaccines? That's how desperate they are to protect their narratives, which are rooted in lies and fraud, criminal fraud. These mRNA injections, number one, are not vaccines. Secondly, they do not work. They don't prevent infections and they don't prevent transmission. It's total fraud. It's a depopulation biological weapon system, even a transhumanism system. But if you say that, you will go to prison in France. But again, this is how fragile their narrative is. They can't allow anyone to question it. What if a scientist questions it? What if another doctor questions it? Oh, you'll lose your license. You'll be arrested. You'll go to jail. Even if you're a scientist or a doctor or a researcher or an analyst, doesn't matter. They have to protect the narrative. So think about this. Their, quote, science is so good that they have to threaten you with prison to enforce it. Their science is so good, they have to threaten you with prison to make sure you don't criticize it. This is the new science. Remember how we used to be told that science was a self-correcting system, that science would always consider objections or new contradictory data, and it would correct itself if it were ever wrong, because new data would show that it was wrong, and then it would embrace the new data, and then the science would always be right. But now, guess how it works? You must believe the science, or we put a gun in your face and we take you prisoner. We take away your life. We take away your rights. We lock you up behind bars, or we loot your bank account and make you pay a penalty for daring to question the science. So I guess France is now saying that the whole realm of science is a total fraud. Because if science has to be enforced by the rule of law, then it's not science at all, is it? It's a tyrannical regime. And speaking of the science, oh, here's something that's so incredibly funny. And this is from modernity.news. Leading scientific journal publishes fake AI-generated paper about rat with a giant penis. So this was also covered in The Telegraph. So there's a science journal called Frontiers in Cell and Development Biology. And it published a paper that was all just complete nonsense. And by the way, the paper featured a large image, well, of a rat with a giant penis taller than the rat and giant rat balls. And the image, this is figure one in the science paper, so-called science paper, which again is supposed to be peer reviewed. It labels all the different parts of this so-called scientific diagram, which was obviously generated by AI. It labels the parts with nonsense made up words, such as synctolic stem cells, desal seed, dislocal sperm cells, rat, testom cells, spermatocele stem cells, iodolet acertogomar cells, or something like that. And it's like, what? And then there's other images in there that are just gobbledygook. There's this image that is supposed to show proteins doing something, and it's all complete nonsense. So the, quote, science journal retracted the paper and issued an apology. Yeah. Well, what about all your other fake science? When are you going to retract all that other stuff? So this proves that the science journals, they don't even read the papers they publish. They don't even look at them. I mean, peer review is a total joke. It has been for a long time. But this just proves it. They make up complete garbage rat images with giant balls, and a science journal publishes that, and we're supposed to, quote, trust the science. Do you trust the science with its giant rat balls? Because that's the clown show that the science has become. And oh, if you question any science in France, you go to prison. So don't forget that. If you say, wait a minute, why does this rat have giant rat balls, and why are these words all made up, the French authorities say, you can't question the science. You're going to prison now, buddy. Don't you know rats do have a giant penis taller than the rat? You're like, no, they don't. I'm pretty sure they don't. Otherwise, how could they move so quickly? You know, dragging it around everywhere. Wouldn't that be a problem? But you're just going to go to jail, where, ironically, you will probably share a cell with a giant rat with a much smaller penis than what was in the science journal, hopefully. All right, moving on. The great boycott of New York has begun. Indeed, it has. Truckers have had enough. Actually, all of us have had enough. There was a trucker video that went viral over the weekend of a trucker that, with a very filthy mouth, was screaming about how horrible New York City is to, you know, single out Trump for persecution and to fine him now over $400 million. For doing nothing wrong, a victimless, quote, crime. They obviously targeted him for total persecution. I mean, don't forget that, you know, he borrowed money from banks. He paid it back with interest. The banks made money. He didn't default on the loans. Nobody got screwed. Everybody made money. And yet the court said that Trump didn't put the right numbers in terms of the valuation of his assets in order to get the loans. And that's why they're fining him over now $400 million and claiming that he can't serve as an executive of his own company for 3 years. This is insane. And more Americans are getting this, especially the truckers. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the truckers of America, because the truckers, well, we couldn't live without them. And they spend long days, nights, weekends, and holidays on the road, away from their families, and they are delivering the things that keep America running. And most of America takes truckers for granted, never thinks about them, never thinks about, oh, how did all this food magically appear on these shelves, or how did all these products show up, or where did all this fuel come from at the gas station? Truckers brought it to you, and the truckers are fed up. So more and more truckers are now saying they're joining the boycott, the New York City boycott. It's also a trending topic on X right now. Boycott New York is exploding. And there's a lot of tweets from people. One guy, quote, I'm a trucker and I stand with a boycott. Time to show the corrupt we run this country, not them. Truckers for Trump, hashtag. And some truckers are calling for boycotts of all liberal cities. So this is becoming an economic embargo, part of civil war, really, if you think about it. The real trucker Jake tweets out, "What this country needs is a good old-fashioned trucker boycott of Democrat-run cities. The left needs to be reminded of who really runs this country. Truckers for Trump." He also tweeted out, "Liberals laugh at the thought of a trucker boycott of New York City. A few years ago, a trucker boycott brought the state of Colorado to its knees. MAGA patriots make this country run. Liberals make our coffee. Truckers for Trump." There's another tweet that talks about truckers now saying, well, they're not going to deliver anything to New York City for 3 years because it's a 3-year penalty on Trump that has been issued by the city of New York. Well, the court system there. Again, total persecution, a political persecution. No justice whatsoever, a rigged case against Trump solely because he is Trump. So there's another tweet that says, "Truckers are talking about not delivering to New York City for 3 years. You thought groceries were expensive now? Just wait. If you live in New York City, you better get out," it says. This is the FO stage of FAFO. Oh, that's, yeah, F around and find out. Yeah, okay, so this is the find out stage of F around and find out. That's what he's saying. Yeah, it kind of is. There are also some trucking companies that are now refusing to deliver to New York City because they are joining the protest. One company says no loads to New York City starting Monday. Another man out of New York City warns people to stock up on food in New York because truck drivers will not be making deliveries. This should be interesting. It's a trucker who posted one of the first videos on this. Chicago One Ray is his name on X, if you want to reach out to him. He says, quote, "I've been on the radio for over an hour, and I've talked to at least 10 truckers who are going to start refusing loads of Monday for New York City. I talked to 3 guys that I work with who texted the boss and told him, no New York City. Truckers are 95% Trump." And then he says the court case will get overturned on appeal. I think this is going to be very interesting. You know, wouldn't it be something if the truckers really effectively had an embargo against New York City that was contingent upon this obviously rigged trial being reversed? In other words, just as they're saying there in the tweets, we won't deliver anything to New York City until this, you know, court decision is overturned or reversed. I wonder how fast that court decision would be reversed if the people of New York City started running out of food. Now, I would imagine that a whole lot of Americans now fully support this idea. A few years ago, this would not have been popular, even among conservatives. But in the years since, it's now obvious that the regime is at war with the American people. The judicial system is totally corrupt, especially in, you know, Democrat-run jurisdictions. There is no real justice. The courts are corrupt. The federal government has been weaponized against us all in terms of open borders policies, censorship, you know, halting export licenses for liquid natural gas out of Texas, for example, as a way to punish Texas. Just on and on. So many examples of how the federal government has been weaponized against the people. Today, I believe that most informed Americans would absolutely support an actual boycott, an embargo against every blue city in America. They would probably say that it's time to embargo Denver, time to embargo Austin, time to embargo, you know, Seattle, Portland, LA, San Francisco, and then, of course, almost the entire East Coast in terms of its cities as well. Not Florida, obviously, or the Carolinas, but I'm talking Northeast, you know, and of course, Chicago. I would imagine a lot of Americans would support this, which means that we are actually inching closer to civil war or the breakup or secession, whatever it ends up looking like. This is another sign. And a couple of weeks ago, it was that Texas has defied the U.S. Supreme Court and said that we're going to protect our border no matter what. And that 25 additional states went along with Texas and said, we stand with Texas. We're sending troops. We're sending supplies. We're going to help Texas defend its border. despite the fact that Washington, D.C. wants America to be invaded and overrun. That was a sign of the coming civil war. And it wasn't too long after that, by the way, that I had Michael Yan in studio, and he said, civil war is now inevitable in America. And it's one of the reasons why he's in Texas now. Well, not today. He's back in Panama, but why he's kind of based out of Texas when he's in the United States, because he knows that Texas is going to be the front line of the civil war in America. And he has been to many, many countries. I mean, dozens of countries around the world as a war correspondent and a special forces operator before that. He knows what it looks like before civil war breaks out. He knows what the people talk like. He knows what the rising anger looks like. He knows what's happening on the streets. He's tuned in. And he is telling me right now that civil war in America is inevitable, because the level of anger, the level of betrayal is off the charts. And now most Americans who are informed would absolutely support the complete boycott of blue cities. How about this? The only thing we'll deliver to New York City is more illegals. How about that? No food, no fuel, just illegals. You know, that kind of attitude is becoming increasingly popular. It's to the point where the lawlessness and the anti-America sentiment among blue cities and government leaders who have been weaponized against this, it's so grotesque that the American people are so fed up, they've had enough, and they want to punish the traitors. They want to punish New York City. And, you know, it doesn't mean they want to punish all the residents of New York City, but they want to punish the leaders that have allowed this grave injustice against Trump to take place. And that sentiment, I would imagine a lot of people have empathy with that sentiment. That, you know, we've been punished for so long. We've had to deal with all the illegals and all the drug trafficking and human trafficking and all the crime for so long. And we've had to deal with all the censorship and all the taxation and all the lies and propaganda and the government pushing bioweapons on us and all the vaccine mandates and all the economic destruction. You know, it's war act after war act after war act has been unleashed against us. I'm not surprised that the people are fed up. I'm not surprised that the truckers are boycotting New York City. And we'll see whether it succeeds or not. Now, I'm not predicting that every store shelf is going to go empty in New York City overnight. That's not going to happen. There will be some trucking companies, of course, that will gladly deliver to New York City, at least for now, until the illegals get out of control and start, you know, hijacking all the trucks. That's probably coming. But if enough truck operators and some carrier companies say we're not delivering anything in New York City, then what's going to happen is the cost of freight to New York City will go up substantially, because there will be fewer trucks available. And so those people that need to get deliveries into New York City will have to pay higher and higher prices. So this is going to result in higher prices, more food inflation in New York City, and also dwindling supply. It doesn't mean the shelves are going to be empty overnight, but the supply will begin to fall off. And I wonder what it's going to be like when your average New York City liberal who hates Trump and would have gladly punished Trump by serving on a jury and just saying, you know, find him guilty of anything, make him pay hundreds of millions of dollars, just do anything. We don't care if it's lawful or not, just punish Trump. That's the way these people think, mostly in New York City. Imagine the shock that they would experience if they go to the grocery store and the shelves are empty. Then what's going on? Why are these shelves are empty? Payback is a bitch. I don't know. You went to war with America and America responded. So guess what? Eat squirrels or something. I don't know. Eat each other. Go zombie. Go like zombie cannibal. How about that? Eat your neighbors. You know, and better yet, if half of New Yorkers eat the other half, then they would make room for the illegals. See, it all works out, obviously. That's satire, in case you're wondering. I don't want New York City residents to have to eat each other, but I do hope they have to eat giant science rats with massive balls. Yeah, that would somehow be appropriate. It's rat ball stew in New York City. Huh? What happened? Oh, truck embargo. Yeah. Enjoy your rat stew. Are those meatballs? Not exactly. Is this Italian? Not exactly. But it's delicious. Try it. Yeah. You should try it because there's no trucks running for 2 more years. Okay. Enjoy. But, you know, by the way, in all seriousness, I had Matt Bracken on as for an interview. Was it like 2 weeks ago? And Bracken was warning about what civil war would look like. And he's written, in fact, quite a few novels about civil war in America. And what Bracken knows is that if a civil war actually does get underway, the blue cities are screwed. They are screwed, man. Because who will deliver goods to the blue cities? I mean, really? Probably New York would have to get the state guard to try to deliver groceries. But where are they going to get the groceries? Where are they going to get the food? What are they going to do? Run around the countryside at gunpoint, just steal everything and then try to deliver it to the city? Guess what? That doesn't work. Your population's too large. You can't steal enough stuff. And sooner or later, the rural areas are going to fight back. I'm telling you, if civil war breaks out in America, the cities will become death traps. And there are a lot of Americans that won't shed a tear about that, by the way. I mean, I don't want to see anybody suffer and die and starve, obviously, which is why I'm, you know, trying to prevent all of this, if it's even possible. But if it breaks out into a civil war, it's not going to be civil. It's going to be an uncivil war. It's going to be one side probably, you know, wanting to see the other side, well, die. I mean, that's kind of the definition of war, except it's uncivil. So let's hope that we don't get to that point. But then again, sometimes I read these headlines, like out of the Epoch Times over the weekend, San Francisco appoints the first non-citizen to its local election commission. So illegals are now serving on the election commission in San Francisco. I mean, of course it's San Francisco. Because they want illegals to vote, they hate America. Well, guess what? Probably San Francisco will be next on the boycott list. No trucks to San Francisco, you know? So what are you going to do in San Fran? What are you going to eat? Oh, yeah, your streets are covered with human feces, so you can literally eat, bleep, and die. Yes, that's actually a saying. Now, just in case civil war or uncivil war wasn't already a crazy enough concept, we've got Russia's Medvedev. He's the, what is his official title? Deputy Chairman of the Russian Federation Council. You know, former president of Russia, right? And he was asked by somebody what would happen if Russia lost the war. And so he was posting on Telegram in Russian. And he said that, well, number one, he said that Russia will never allow the return of the regions, the Donbass region, that have now joined Russia through their own local votes, the referendum. So that's part of Russia now that will never be given back to Ukraine. And he said that he would nuke Western cities before any of these territories would be given back to Ukraine. And he mentioned that he would nuke Kiev, London, Washington, D.C., and Berlin. And then he was asked what would happen if Russia lost the war. And he said that, do these idiots truly believe that the Russian people will simply swallow such a consequential partitioning of their country? That we will just think that unfortunately it happened, that the West won. Russia, as we know it today, no longer exists. It is unfortunate, but we must continue to live in a country that is collapsing and dying because a nuclear war is far worse for us than the death of our loved ones. He's asking hypothetically that, does the West think that Russians would say those things to themselves? And he says, no. I'm paraphrasing, but he says, no. That's not what Russia will think. Russia will nuke Western cities before Russia would ever allow itself to be defeated or to have its territories taken. And again, he specifically mentions Washington, D.C. And yet, we're on a collision course because Joe Biden, well, Obama, and the regime in the U.S., they insist that Russia will be defeated. Oh, and they have a new plan they've come up with over the weekend. They're going to have a million drones given to Ukraine. That's their new thing. It's no longer F-16s or HIMARS long-range artillery or M777s or, you know, Abrams tanks, whatever. They always come up with a new secret weapon every couple of months. Now it's going to be a million drones. Somehow the West is going to manufacture a million drones and deliver them to Ukraine. And somehow they're going to have enough drone operators, and these drones are going to win the war, going to defeat Russia and take back the Donbass region and push Russia back and even defeat Russia in its own country. And then the West is going to, you know, pillage Russia, take all its resources, and try Putin for war crimes. Yeah, that's the delusional fairy tale of the West. And this is going to be accomplished with a million drones. Right. It is laughable. It is really laughable. This is from the Western civilization that thinks men can get pregnant also, and that you should trust the science with giant rat balls. So, you know, Medvedev is not bluffing. See, the West always thinks that Russia's bluffing because the West is always bluffing. The West is always projecting onto Russia its own, you know, tendencies. But I'm quite certain that Medvedev is not bluffing. Russia's not bluffing. And this is probably going to go nuclear because the West is too stupid to realize that Russia's not bluffing. Even Martin Armstrong, he was on with Greg Hunter. He said the same thing. He said, this probably goes nuclear sometime this year. And look, Medvedev is telling you exactly what cities Russia's going to nuke. Kiev, London, Washington, D.C., Berlin, and other cities. Well, that plus the boycott of New York City by the truckers. See, if Washington, D.C. gets nuked and New York City has no deliveries of fuel or food, what do you think would happen next? I mean, what would that do across America? I'm going to leave it up to your imagination. What do you think would be the next, you know, waves of things that would happen? I don't know. But I'm sure I'm not alone, and not that I want anybody harmed, obviously. I don't want to see any nukes fly anywhere. I don't want to see World War III. I've been calling for peace, you know, as aggressively as I can, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of people in America probably believe that if Washington, D.C. were not able to function, that America would actually do better, dare I say, because Washington, D.C. has been weaponized against the American people. I think that's a common understanding right now, that we, the people, would be better off without Washington, D.C. If Washington, D.C. would just hit the pause button and stop functioning, like never go back to Congress, you know, never vote on anything again, we'd all be better off. I mean, and that's just a realistic statement. I think that's where we are right now in this country. Again, just to reiterate, I don't want to see any war. I don't want to see any nukes fly. I don't want to see anybody bombed. I don't want to see anybody die. I've dedicated my professional career here to saving lives and promoting peace and promoting freedom and liberty and the secure borders and the rule of law and, you know, diplomacy, all these things that can save lives. But the people that are in charge want war. And if they provoke Medvedev, if they poke the bear, they're going to get a nuke in Washington, D.C., probably from Russia. At least that's what's being promised. And London and Berlin and Kiev. And nobody wins, then the scale of human suffering and death is just, you know, it's unimaginable. And then we have a nuclear winter. You know, the skies go dark for 2 years because of all the particulate matter and, you know, radioactive fallout. Millions or hundreds of millions die from cancer. People die from mass famine and starvation because the food crops fail for the next 2 years, and on and on and on. Oh God, I don't want to see any of that happen. But if there were a peaceful way for us to like use a freeze ray gun on Washington, D.C., just like just freeze it, you know, like in a comic book, just freeze Washington, D.C., the country would be better off. No question about it. All right, let's shift gears here and cover some other insane news for today. This story also from modernity.news, which I believe is Paul Joseph Watson's website. Here it is. Black activist lawyer's idea to stop crime, just legalize crime. So there's a black activist lawyer who appears to be named Ben Crump, who specializes in civil rights cases and was the attorney for families of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd. He said, according to reports here, that, quote, we can get rid of all the crime in America overnight, just like that. And then he said, how is to change the definition of crime? Basically, he's meaning to decriminalize crime. He says, quote, if you get to define what conduct is going to be made criminal, then you can predict who the criminals are going to be. What? I think the criminals would be the people who commit crimes like shootings, robbings, rapings, and lootings, and so on. From the story, another guest responded by saying that all black people were criminals by their nature, according to this other guest. And Crump responded and said, they made the laws to criminalize our culture, black culture. What? Wait a second. Did a black activist attorney just say that all black culture is criminal in nature? I mean, is, whoa, because, you know, if a white person said this, that would be obviously racist. But a black activist lawyer is saying that criminal behavior is actually just black culture. So I guess like robbing people, he appears to be saying, oh, that's just being black. Shooting people, oh, that's also just being black. I mean, this is crazy because that is not what black culture represents, by the way. I'm certain of it. I may not be black, but I'm not stupid. And I'm pretty sure that these comments by this guy are going to anger a lot of black folks all across America, because the last thing they want is to be designated as a culture of criminals by a black activist lawyer who's suggesting that the way to stop crime is to just legalize it all. Just say, well, guess what? Killing people and taking their property, that's just a black thing and it shouldn't be against the law. Wow. In fact, somebody tweeted about that. Bob Allen tweeted, quote, actually, he's pretty close to right. Black, African, and tribal cultures allow a lot of killing and taking of property. The concept of private property is really from European culture. So the idea of not being stolen from is a white thing. Apparently. Wow. So is this why all the FBI statistics about violent crime show that black Americans disproportionately commit those crimes against other people? Usually against other black people, by the way. So is crime just really a black culture thing? Is that going to be the new narrative? I'm curious. So if a black person is robbing you, are you supposed to say, oh, that's okay, that's a black thing, go ahead? Or if a black person breaks into your house, a black person is carjacking you, are you supposed to say, oh, take the car, I didn't realize that's a black thing, just take it? Is that what this is? Because that's insane, right? You ever notice that there's never any excuse making for things that white people do? Like when Trump gets a bunch of bank loans and makes billions of dollars in profits as a real estate developer, instead of the state saying, oh, that's a white thing, yeah, white people do that, they criminalize him. They say, well, that's against the law. Now, if Trump had been black and carjacked and murdered and robbed somebody, then apparently a black activist lawyer would say, well, you can't charge him, that's a black thing. I mean, again, off the charts insane. Now, for the record, and especially for those of you listening who are black, I'm sure you're just as disgusted by what that lawyer said as I am, because you know that violent crime is not a black culture thing. That's not just a black thing. You're not like, black people aren't born as criminals. They're taught that. They're taught that by our failed educational system. They're taught that by our failed justice system. They're taught that in many different ways. They're taught that, you know, through the lawlessness that is reflected across our society. If you're born black, it doesn't mean you're a born felon. So I reject that theory because it's nonsense. But it's also highly disturbing that a black attorney would be promoting that. And even though you might say, well, you know, there's a lot of black felons in the cities, especially the inner cities. And yeah, that's true. But have you ever seen like scary ass meth cooking white felons out in the countryside? Them's some scary ass white folks, let me tell you, too. You know, criminals can be any color. I have seen some scary things. I've driven through some areas of America that I'd never want to go back to. And they weren't black neighborhoods. They were some like rural white, you know, meth cooking trailers out in the wood type of places. I'm like, how did I end up here? Let's not come back here. All right. Another story from the realm of insanity here today. Check this out. Trans milk is as good as the real thing, says the NHS. Now, when I say trans milk, it's exactly what you think it is. It's a man taking drugs to induce secretions from his nipples so that he can breastfeed a baby that he did not give birth to, okay? That's exactly what this is. So biological men, if they take enough hormones, they can grow milk glands, okay? And then they can take these drugs, off-label drugs, by the way, to stimulate milk production. Now, some of these men, they want to breastfeed babies. I don't know. I mean, they want to become women. They think they can give birth. They can't give birth, but they can breastfeed. So the University of Sussex Hospitals NHS Trust has issued a letter that says, the medical director, Rachel James, says that the off-label prescription drug cocktail that men are taking to transition to females was, quote, similar to the natural hormones which encourage lactation to develop when the baby is newly born. So she's basically saying that if you drug a man and give him some breasts and have him produce milk, that's pretty much as good as the real thing, you know, mother's milk. But in this case, it would be father's milk, I guess, which is frightening. Quote, she writes, quote, the evidence which is available demonstrates that the milk is comparable to that produced following the birth of a baby. Well, comparable could mean anything. It could be that it compares badly. I mean, you know, gold is comparable to sewage. Yeah, you can compare them. They're not the same thing. You want one, you don't want the other. So just to say it's comparable doesn't mean anything. But RT covered this and reported that the drug that's used to artificially generate lactation in men is called domperidone. Okay. It's manufactured by a company known as Janssen, a pharmaceutical company. It warns patients that the drug may cause unwanted side effects affecting the heart in a breastfed baby. Yeah, great. More heart damage to the babies, as if vaccines don't do enough. And it should be used during breastfeeding only if your physician considers this clearly necessary. But of course, you know, the LGBT trans community is so insane with its cult of wanting to push men becoming women that they're like, drug them, and then feed the baby this drug-induced father's milk. Wow. Yeah, our world is all sick and twisted. The Daily Mail covered this and reported that no one has actually looked into what's in the milk. No one's actually done an analysis. Maybe the breast milk coming out of men's breasts is full of, you know, weird hormones and things, or who knows, metabolic artifacts of the pharmaceuticals, and ends up causing major damage to the baby. I mean, let me guess, the trans parents, they don't care. They just, they're so narcissistic and selfish, they'll drug themselves. They want to play the role of a woman, even if it harms the baby, you know? And then this same trust is insisting that you can't talk about mothers giving birth. You have to talk about, quote, birthing people, because they think men can give birth. Show us a man giving birth, please. Not that I want to see that, but I want to see you try that. I mean, yeah, you can. Men have nipples. You can give a man enough artificial drugs and hormones that probably give the man cancer, by the way. But you can give him enough stuff to have him grow milk glands, and he can produce something that a baby can suckle on, you know. But I want to see you try to have a man give birth. Because you think men and women are interchangeable? Try that. Let's see how that goes. So anyway, get ready to hear a lot about trans milk. Men's breast milk. That's how sick and twisted our world has become. Trans milk is a thing. Can you imagine what these trans households are going to look like soon? It's going to be like a man and a woman who switch roles. So there'll be like a woman growing a beard with a sew-on penis, taking male hormones, transitioning into a mass shooter, while the biological man is now shaving, trying to pretend to be a woman, taking hormones, getting breasts, producing milk, like breastfeeding the baby, cutting off his penis, pretending to have a vagina. And these are going to be the parents raising the children of our next society. Can you imagine that? That's not going to have any mental problems. No, not at all. You know, the only good thing about that situation is that those two people can't reproduce themselves. Thank God that they are electing to win the Darwin Award. They can't reproduce. If they have a baby, they got to get it from somebody else who still has functioning reproductive organs. Have you thought about that? The whole transgender community is, you know, they're ending themselves by mutilating their own genitalia. And that's why they always have to try to recruit new people, because they can't make new people. They can't reproduce biologically. So they just have to indoctrinate people and suck them into their cult. That's the only way they can grow their numbers. And even then, it's only good for one lifetime. And the lifetimes are much shorter because of all the cancer and suicides, of course. You know, because what do you think happens to people who go down this dark road of mass mental illness? They end up killing themselves more often than not. It's very sad. You know, I want to see the infant formula companies, you know, what are they called? Like Similac, I think. Yeah. Like Pediasure, stuff like that, which are, from my point of view, it's just processed junk food. It's loaded with sugars and milk proteins, by the way, just complete garbage from my point of view. But I want to see them have like trans infant formula with rainbows on the side. Like somehow the sugar in the formula is like tranny sugar or something. You know, I mean, you know, they're going to have to virtue signal somehow. They can't just have infant formula. They're going to have like, you know, special like father's milk infant formula replacement or something, you know, to cater to the trans community. What do you think that's going to look like in terms of ingredients? It'll be like regular infant formula plus Tabasco sauce or something. How do you man up the formula? You know, like cowboy up that formula, turn it into a manly man trans milk infant formula, man milk replacement. They won't even be called mammary glands. They'll be called mannery glands. Mannery glands. That's almost like the name of Gregory Mannarino. I didn't even mean to bring that up, but it is. He'll probably laugh at that joke. Good guy to watch. Good information on finance. Nothing to do with trans. His name just came out because I play silly games with words. Okay, moving on. Look, the bottom line is Western civilization has lost its damn mind. lost his soul too, lost his heart. It's become this anti-human, transhumanism, satanic death cult run by clowns and lunatics. That's what Western civilization now resembles. No wonder it's collapsing. Can you point to anything that functions, any institution that functions in Western civilization? A judicial system, education system, free press, government, elections, freedom of speech, technology, anything that actually functions that hasn't been co-opted by clowns and lunatics and Satanists? No. It's all in a state of accelerating collapse. Do not expect good things to happen for a while. This is only going to get worse for the foreseeable future. All right, we're going to jump into the interview here today. And it's an interview with the founder of Goldbacks. It's Jeremy Corden. Now, we had some video problems with this interview, so it's audio only. And however, it's a great discussion because we talk about the practical usefulness of Goldbacks. And if you don't know, Goldbacks have real physical gold embedded in every Goldback note. And I did lab tests on it to confirm how much gold they have and the purity of the gold. And so we've become an affiliate for the Goldback company. The website where you can learn about that or buy them is verifiedgoldbacks.com. That's plural, verifiedgoldbacks.com. We earn a small percentage of every sale from that website. So thank you for your support. But most importantly, this is a spendable off-grid form of gold that it's highly divisible. It's you can get them as small as 1/1000th of an ounce of gold and as real physical gold in every Goldback. So people don't have to have faith in a currency as long as they understand what gold is and that there's gold in these Goldbacks, then that establishes a certain level of intrinsic value inside, you know, every Goldback. So the founder of the Goldback company, Jeremy Corden, joins us for a discussion about the ways that people are using this and how they're working with more and more merchants to get more widespread acceptance of Goldbacks and how they may even be launching a Texas Goldback because they already have Nevada, they have Utah, they have, what states do they have? Well, New Mexico, I believe as well. And they're trying to get Texas launched sometime in the medium future here. But we have a great discussion about Goldbacks and why people love them and why they're using them, how you can get them and so on. So I think you'll enjoy this interview. Be sure to also support our healthrangerstore.com website. Thank you for all your support. And thank you for checking out our product line, especially our new macaroni and cheese instant meals, which are, of course, certified organic and laboratory tested. Very delicious. Wheat-free with no salt added to the recipe. There is some salt naturally in the powdered cheddar cheese, by the way, but there's no additional salt added. So you might want to add your own salt. We decided not to salt the meal because some people want a lower sodium option, and we decided not to use any wheat. So it's a wheat-free formula. It's very delicious, very clean, simple, organic, lab-tested ingredients. Check it out at healthrangerstore.com and enjoy this interview with Jeremy from the Goldback Company. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And as you know, I am a strong advocate of owning metals, gold and silver, because it's off-grid money that works even when the banks don't. And one of the most intriguing forms of gold that I've ever found that sort of came onto my radar are these Goldbacks. They contain real physical gold that's embedded in each Goldback at very precise measures. This one is 1/1000th of an ounce of real physical 24 karat gold. And there are other bills that have larger amounts, 5, 10, 25, or 50/1000ths of an ounce. Now, at first, I was skeptical. I didn't believe they contained the gold that they claimed to contain. So I did the laboratory testing, thanks to the fact that we have a mass spec lab. And I used a kiln and I extracted the gold. And the gold actually came out. And here's one actual sample. You probably can't see it, but it's like a BB size piece of gold that we ran the analysis on and verified the purity and we verified the mass. And what do you know? We got over 100% recovery of gold. We got anywhere from 102 to 107%. And that's when I became an advocate of Goldbacks. And I've interviewed the founder, and he's back with us today. Jeremy, welcome back to the show. Thank you for what you're doing with Goldbacks. People are absolutely loving this format. They're beautiful. They're in high demand. You've done something really amazing. Welcome back.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we talked last time about what are Goldbacks. We talked about the lab tests and things like that. But one of the questions that has come up since then is that there were some sort of previous projects throughout history where certain people tried to maybe compete with the dollar. Now, I know that's not what Goldbacks are. You're not saying that these are dollars. But there was something called the Liberty Dollar a few years back that imploded. And I know that you studied that. So what can you tell us about the Liberty Dollar and why Goldbacks are not following the same path?
You know, that's a great question. And it's one of the first questions that we would get all the time when, you know, Goldbacks came out back in 2019. The Liberty Dollar Project was something that I was aware of when I started working in precious metals in 2015. So my partner, Larry Hilton, he approached me, said, you know, there's this guy named Bernard von Knotthaus, and he made a precious metals backed currency. And what in essence happened is the government came out and did everything they could to shut him down. And they aggressively just shut him down because they just didn't like him. They thought it was a counterfeit thing when it wasn't. And I heard this sentiment over and over again where, you know, people in the precious metal space were really kind of rooting for this guy and rooting for this project. And what that did is it created a lot of doubt and uncertainty about doing the Goldback project, because if you're going to do the project and the government's just going to shut you down, you know, why go through all the effort? You know, Bernard von Knotthaus ended up under house arrest. So before starting the Goldback, we did an enormous amount of research on the government's legal case against the Liberty Dollar. And I really started to learn just a lot more about it. Things that I hadn't heard from Larry, things I hadn't heard from anybody, for, you know, how they got in trouble.
Okay. So, I mean, go ahead and elaborate on that. I mean, I know for one thing, they called it the dollar, the Liberty Dollar. So it's like a direct competition with the dollar currency.
Yeah. I mean, that was their first mistake, is they used the term dollars on the currency.
Uh-huh. Right.
So they'd make a $10 round. It's a silver round. And at the time, this is back in 2008, 2006, 2007, silver was about $4 an ounce. And they minted these rounds at $10 and they called them dollars. So the fact that they were calling them dollars and that it's a silver coin and that, you know, these were kind of out there, people were passing these silver rounds as a $10 silver piece.
Oh.
To people that didn't know. So that was the first,
right.
That was kind of the first big mistake. Because if you can produce something for $4 or $5 and pass it off as 10 and pass it off to people that think it's a product of the government, you know, they think the mint made it or it's a collectible or a commemorative, or, you know, they're respecting that face value. So they've had the dollar sign. They called it $10. They wrote trust in God on it, which is kind of a variation of in God we trust.
Uh-huh.
They had their own university. So they called their organization NORFED, and they had a kind
NORFED.
Of like a soft, like,
yeah,
the
so sounds federal, right? It sounds,
well,
like the Federal Reserve.
But they were really kind of the anti-Federal Reserve. That's how they wanted to position themselves. You should use our dollars instead of the Federal Reserve's dollars.
I see.
And they copied the denominations of the Federal Reserve notes. It was, you know, 1, 5, 10, 20, 50. And, you know, if you kind of looked at their business model, it was actually an MLM. You know, there's about 150%. And I didn't know that. But there's about 150% premium on these rounds, when typically the technology behind a round would carry a 5 to 10% premium.
Right, right. But
there,
I mean, that's
a
different
lot of margin
from Goldbacks. I mean, but Goldbacks are much more high tech. You have this vacuum deposition technology, so there is a premium on Goldbacks over the raw price of gold. But this has precision, utility, and divisibility, and frankly, They look a lot better than rounds.
Well, sure. I mean, if you're going to split an ounce of gold into 1,000 pieces, that's going to cost a lot more than a single round.
Right.
Right. So the 150% premium, that in itself wasn't the problem. The problem is that they were using a technology where a 5 to 10% premium was more typical. Uh-huh. If you were to have a half grain bar that had the equivalent amount of gold as a gold back, it's more normal to pay a 200 or 300% premium, whereas a gold back is under 100%. So we're actually cheaper than the rest of the market for what it is. You know, Liberty Dollar got in trouble because they were able to offer huge margins to people that could pass off their silver rounds as dollars.
I see.
At that $10 mark.
Wow.
And once silver prices went up, I mean, once silver prices hit $7 an ounce, they recasted all these 1 ounce coins as $20 coins.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. So I guess the government didn't have a difficult time making the case that from their point of view, that was counterfeiting.
It was counterfeiting. And yeah, there's this great video, and the video really kind of changed my mind, and we'll, you know, show it to you guys. But you have Bernard von Nothaus, and he has the $10 silver round that he has, and he goes to a sandwich shop, and he calls it the new $10 silver. You know, they'd never seen it before. They didn't know what it was. He says, this is the new $10 silver. And you can imagine what those girls did working at the sandwich shop is they went to the bank at the end of the day thinking that it was a $10 piece. And the bank told them that, no, this isn't a dollar. And I think that's how Liberty Dollar really showed up on the radar, is you had banks come calling in and saying, hey, we're getting all these, you know, $10 silver pieces. What do we do with these?
Yeah, exactly. All right. So then merchants started probably freaking out too, who had accepted them, saying, what do we do with these? Right. And because they didn't know what they were doing. Now, in contrast,
you can't get credit for it. Sure. Go ahead.
For goldbacks, though, I know that you have merchants that come to you and want to accept goldbacks. They proudly put a sign in their window, we accept goldbacks here. They want these. So talk to us about the difference between how Goldbacks is working with merchants versus what you just described with the Liberty Dollar project.
Right. Well, we took all of the complaints that the government had against the Liberty Dollar. It's about 50 pages. It's like a 50-page case against the Liberty Dollar. And we boiled it down to 11 points of, you know, these are the core complaints. And when we built the gold back in 2019, we wanted to make sure that on day one, that not a single one of those points, you know, regardless of how minor it is, couldn't be used against the gold back. We wanted to build the gold back legally, build a legal structure for it before it ever was a product. So, you know, the first point is they use the term dollars on all their currency. Now, goldback, we only mentioned dollars to say that goldbacks aren't dollars. In fact, if you tried to pass a goldback off as a dollar, you're probably going to lose about 3/4 of your value. A 50 goldback, it says 50 on it, but it's worth about $200.
Right.
But no one would do that. You know, you wouldn't even get melt value.
Right. Yeah. You're not going to take a, like the one goldback here, 1/1000, this in terms of what merchants accept it for is worth about $4. Right. So, but if I try to pass it off as $1, to your point, that's stupid. I'm only getting a dollar. The gold alone in here is worth more than $1.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy. I mean, why would you give away your gold for that?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense. And I think you'd be very hard pressed to convince somebody that it was a dollar anyway, because there's no dollar sign on it. It doesn't say in God we trust. We avoid kind of federal symbols. That's more normal with currency. These guys did all these other things that, you know, where they're poking the bear. You know, the Goldback as a company, we've been careful to not be branded as an anti-government thing. Uh-huh. You know, where we have this out there is a complementary experimental currency. It's not about being anti-government. It's about offering people more choices with their currency. Well, and then, you know,
yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I also want to mention, because I've given away a lot of these. I'm like the gold back Santa Claus. It's crazy. I hand these out to people. They are a different size than dollar currency. They're not green and they're not made out of the, what is it? A kind of a linen fabric. It's not paper. I don't know what dollars are made out of, but it's not paper per se, but these are different. This is a polymer that sandwiches gold in it. It feels different. It looks different. It's shiny. You know, it's got the actual gold on the back that people can see, hence the name gold back. So there's, I mean, no one's going to confuse this with a dollar, a green back dollar bill. I mean, that's impossible.
No, I don't think anyone would be. And it's down to even little things that we wanted to have different. We didn't use the same denominations.
Right.
So the $20 bill, I believe the origin of the $20 bill is that was the value of a $20 gold piece, which was about an ounce. Because if you think about it mathematically, a $20 bill doesn't make a lot of sense. We don't have a 20-cent coin.
Right. That's true.
Why would you have a $20 bill? We all use quarters.
Yeah.
So instead of doing the 1, 5, 10, 20, and 50, we did the 1, 5, 10, 25, and 50. Because again, part of the federal case against Liberty Dollar, and this is a very minor point, is that they copied the same denominations as the Federal Reserve note system. Uh-huh. And we didn't even want to be guilty of that.
Yeah, exactly. But let me point out something else, though. And of course, I don't ever want this to happen. But even in the worst case, if your company were ordered to halt operations for whatever reason, it doesn't magically make the gold vanish in the gold backs that people already have. It's like you already got it. It's in your hands. Like the operation of your company, in other words, is not what offers. That doesn't make these valuable. They're valuable because of what they already have.
That's exactly right. In fact, if you look at the laws of supply and demand, I pointed this out to somebody because they're really worried about me and they're worried about us. And they said, you know, aren't you worried the government's going to get you? And I said, well, you know, we're doing everything we can to follow the law. And, you know, typically you have to break the law. Something that's really been inspiring for me is to see the emergence of the cryptocurrency space.
Oh, yeah.
Which a lot of people just didn't believe could happen. You know, you look at Coinbase and it's a multi-billion-dollar company. They're spending $74 million a year in conjunction with all these other crypto companies and lobbying to protect their rights.
Yes.
So we have a space that there are bureaucrats, there are politicians that don't like it, but it's thriving nevertheless. And Goldback is way smaller. It's smaller than any crypto project. I don't even think Goldback is on the radar of most people that would be inclined to not like it. You know, we sold about $100 million worth of gold back. So it's
growing
big in the sense it is. It's big in the sense that I believe that gold back is the most successful local currency project in American history, but it's still tiny compared to Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is what's getting all of the regulators' attention.
Right.
It's getting all the negative attention. It's getting all the subpoenas and the negative press and the attacks and the manipulation and all the kind of negativity centered around that, which actually creates the perfect environment for goldbacks to do well.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up. The contrast is really critical here because, of course, cryptocurrency, anybody can create a new crypto coin. And of course, Bitcoin created 21 million Bitcoins that people participate in a market environment that is highly, highly speculative, right? And the price of Bitcoin is based entirely on people's faith or value or hopes or what they think it's worth. Whereas your goldbacks, they're not speculative. Goldbacks can't ever go up 100 times. They're essentially a reflection of the price of gold or the value of gold. They encapsulate the stability of gold. I think that's one of the main advantages of goldbacks. Now, I understand that as gold moves, goldbacks can also move. Goldbacks can move in price if there's more demand, but goldbacks are never going to do like an FTX 100X or 1,000,000% because it's not a Ponzi scheme. It's real gold.
Right. It's not supposed to. We don't want it to. So we're scaling up production of gold backs, but you could have an event, and this has happened once or twice to us, where if everybody wants gold backs at the same time, then it's supply and demand like any other currency, and you can see the price of goldbacks go up. We've seen the price of a single goldback go up to $50. Now, we don't want that to happen. We want it to be stable. We can correct that by adding more goldbacks, because really what we're doing is we're tapping into a multi-trillion dollar gold market where all we have to do is get more gold and put it through the process to make goldbacks.
Right.
Now, in the
but,
past,
but that's, been, we've that's been, a limiting factor, though. I mean, in, in crypto, they can create, anybody can create more crypto out of nothing. You can't do that. And this is important for the audience to understand. You can't create goldbacks out of nothing because you have to have the gold to put into the goldbacks.
That's exactly right. And to your point earlier, if something did ever happen to Goldback as a company or happened to me, heaven forbid, and you know, I hope I'm not signing up to be a martyr, right? But if something happened to the company and we weren't able to make goldbacks anymore, the value on goldbacks is supply and demand. I think the value of all existing goldbacks would go up dramatically if we couldn't make any more, because all the goldbacks that are out are just, that's it.
Well, I mean, stay safe. We don't want to see anything happen to you, because we want more supply of goldbacks.
So. Right. Yeah. I hope so. But I'm just saying there's no, it doesn't feel like there's an obvious thing that could happen to goldback that where the goldbacks would lose value. Ironically,
yeah, I can't see that either.
Make them anymore. That's my point.
Right. Okay. All right. Excellent point. Let me bring up the website we have with you. This is our affiliate site. It's called verifiedgoldbacks.com. And folks, if you go to this site, you can see the goldbacks. You can see our laboratory testing and also some of the interviews that we've done. Here's some of the photos of how I did the testing and verified what these goldbacks contain. Now, this is an affiliate site. We earn a small percentage of your sales when you purchase through this site by clicking this button right here or any other buttons. And it doesn't cost you anything extra, though. So you can help support us and support this platform by purchasing goldbacks through this site, verifiedgoldbacks.com, and you can learn all about them there. And we thank you for your support. Now, Jeremy, what else do you want to say about the Liberty Dollar? In terms of how you distinguish yourself from that?
It's different in that we're not trying to pass goldbacks off as dollars. They're vertically oriented. Nobody thinks they're dollars. The value is different. So we did try to cover all these bases. And importantly, there's a second thing that Liberty Dollar really got in trouble with. So it wasn't just counterfeiting. There's a federal statute that prohibits anyone from promoting or putting out a gold or silver money as current money on the market unless otherwise authorized by law. And I'll get you a copy of that statute. What Goldback does as a local currency, a state level currency, is we follow state laws that allow us to put the gold back out there for circulation. In fact, we use the Uniform Commercial Code, which has been adopted by all 50 states, because goldbacks as a complementary currency can be turned in for U.S. minted gold coins that are produced by the Treasury. And these are the same laws that are used for Walmart gift cards. I mean, have you ever seen a coupon that says you can redeem it for a penny or whatever?
Right. Yeah. I remember seeing that. Yeah.
Right. That's the Uniform Commercial Code. That's why gift cards are legal. Or coupons, because you can't have everybody printing their own money unless otherwise authorized by law. So states have gotten together and at the state level have made laws that make it easier for companies to put out things out there that kind of act as money. And we do the same thing. We simply just tie it to the gold coins produced by the U.S. government through the mint.
So someone can take goldbacks to your company and exchange them for U.S. minted gold coins if they wish.
They absolutely could. Now, I wouldn't recommend that, because you'd have to have 1,000 goldbacks and then you'd get a 1 ounce gold coin that says $50 on it. But that's way better than melting them down.
I'd rather have the goldbacks, but my point is the exchangeability is part of your policy.
It's there, and it's a regulatory hook, right? You know, most people selling goldbacks, I mean, you're going to be looking at, you know, maybe a 5% spread, but folks aren't selling goldbacks so much as they are circulating and saving and using them.
Yes.
And the value of a goldback has doubled just, you know, since we came out in 2019. In fact, the first goldbacks that came out you know, if you go on eBay and you want to buy a 2019 Goldback first year of issue, you're paying like $20-$30 as opposed to $4. There's a collectability market that's growing with Goldbacks as well.
I see. Wow, that's interesting. Okay, now let's talk about the states, because these are South Dakota Goldbacks, and I know you have them issued for, I think, 5 U.S. states, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Can you just name those states? I know Wyoming is one of them.
So we have Utah, Nevada, Wyoming, New Hampshire, and South Dakota. And any state that has their own Goldback series, we'll see, you know, 10 times the amount of interest per capita that there should be in the state. We have about as many people in Utah looking up Goldbacks and using Goldbacks as people in Texas. But we are seeing a huge proportion of people using and buying Goldbacks outside of those 5 states. I'd say those 5 states maybe do 20% of the purchases of Goldbacks, and the other 80% is outside of those states.
Okay. Okay. Now, we talked about Texas last time, and I know you're thinking about maybe having a Texas Goldback. Is that something that's still on your radar? If merchants in Texas are interested in accepting Goldbacks, then they can contact you at goldback.com. And
there,
yes?
There's a sign-up page on goldback.com.
Oh, okay.
So you can sign up your business without needing to contact us on goldback.com. If you want to be part of one of the businesses in Texas, or really any other state that wants to accept Goldbacks when we come to that state.
Okay. Okay, great. So why would a local merchant want to accept Goldbacks? I mean, what are some of the reasons that you hear from merchants that currently accept Goldbacks?
That's a great question. There's a few things. First off, merchants prefer cash, right? I mean, because you're not paying 2% or 3% or 4% in credit card fees. If your profit margin as a business is 10, 15%, that 4% penalty is pretty big. You know, even merchants that accept Goldbacks, they might be getting 1 or 2% of their business in Goldbacks, if that. So they'll often take Goldbacks and save them or spend them at another business that also takes Goldbacks. So there's that dynamic as well. You know, nobody's losing when they're accepting Goldbacks as payment, but they're also saving in something that retains its value, and they're becoming more independent from a cash-based system. A lot of our merchants are worried about central bank digital currencies. They're worried that their privacy is going to be eroded over time, and that if they don't start using other systems and programs like Goldbacks, that ultimately they're going to be shoehorned into a worse system than they're currently in.
I would imagine also, I mean, those seem like good reasons, but you know, as we're an online merchant, we know that credit card charges are never permanent. You know, people have chargebacks, and some people do that maliciously, and they steal money back from you. And that can even happen at a merchant in person. Even if they swipe your card in person, if that person says, well, my credit card was stolen and somebody swiped it at, you know, this clothing store, let's say, then that charge can be reversed. So a merchant taking credit cards never really knows if they have that money, not for 6 months, frankly, because chargebacks can happen in that window. But if they take Goldbacks, it's done. It's a done deal. There's no takebacks of Goldbacks. I mean,
no, you're right. And so we put out stickers and we give merchants, you know, we're going to be offering more support to the businesses that we advertise as accepting Goldbacks. That said, I've heard stories of Goldbacks being spent and used and bartered with in just about every state and just about every continent, where people are bartering with Goldbacks. You don't necessarily have to be on goldback.com to take Goldbacks as payment. In fact, any package going out, if you go through your link on verified Goldbacks, it comes with a Goldback acceptance sticker. And all you have to do is use the calculator on goldback.com to figure out how many Goldbacks somebody owes you. And, you know, last year we saw about 70,000 people use that calculator across the United States.
Right. And that calculator, I've used it too. So someone could just enter dollars and cents, and then it just translates that into gold backs based on the current price. And usually mm-hmm. it's like this many gold backs plus there's some change of like US cents or something that right. typically goes along with that. So yeah, that's a convenient calculator for sure. But I also think that, you know, there's a privacy aspect in all of this. And, you know, electronic transactions, credit cards, even debit cards, obviously, you're always being spied on. And when you spend on a debit card, even at a local merchant, well, you're creating a map of where you go and where you shop and what you buy and how often you buy it and how much you buy. If you're using goldbacks, or I guess this would apply to just greenback cash as well, but, you know, cash can lose value at any moment because there's nothing in it that's real, right? But goldbacks gives you privacy.
Well, I mean, if you're using goldbacks, yeah, if you're using goldbacks, you have the privacy of cash,
right?
Without the inflation.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. Exactly. Because as dollars lose value and gold gains value, goldbacks track the gain with gold represented in dollars. I mean, and I should mention, because I don't encourage anybody to be into speculation. I'm not telling anybody, get these because they're going to go up in value. No, I'm saying gold holds value. So as dollars lose value, gold appears to be more valuable when expressed in dollars, but it doesn't mean gold is more valuable. Gold is, it's held its value over thousands of years. You know, an ounce of gold today gets you about the same thing that an ounce of gold did, you know, 500 years ago. And that's great. That's all I want. I don't need it to go up. I just need it to stop losing money. You know what I mean?
I think, you nailed it on the head. I mean, I mentioned that the value of the gold back has doubled in the last 5 years. It would probably be more accurate to say that the value of the dollar has probably been slashed in half over the last 5 years.
Exactly.
And the gold back has kept its value.
Exactly. That's the way I would express it. Yeah. Because it's, you know, people don't realize how much they're losing as the dollar devaluation accelerates. Of course, they go to the grocery store and then they see food prices have doubled, but they think, well, that's the food industry doubling prices. Or as like a lot of people in government blame the grocery stores. You know, I forgot. I think it was Canada? Yeah, it was Justin Trudeau saying they're going to punish grocery stores for raising their prices, as if grocery stores are just arbitrarily trying to price gouge people. It's insane. I mean, grocery stores operate on such a thin margin that they barely make any money anyway. Of course they have to raise prices when the raw materials or the products coming in go up in price. But for the average consumer, that's how they see inflation, but they don't attribute it to the devaluation of the dollar. They just think, well, food prices are going up for whatever reason. They don't really think about it.
You know, something I tell people is, you know, if real inflation, if you, you know, use the same kind of formula that they used back in the 80s or 90s for calculating inflation, where you include, you know, rent and food and things like that, there's an argument that real inflation is between 10 and 15% a year.
Absolutely.
Now, unless your wages are going up by 10 or 15% a year, you're getting a pay decrease and your standard of living is going down. And all of a sudden, things that used to be cheap to you, like food or rent, are more expensive. And now you can't afford that vacation. You know,
right.
Now you can't afford that new car. Now you can't afford to put your kids in private school. So it's reducing everybody's standard of living because all of their wages, all the money that you get, whether it's, you know, Social Security, or if that's just your wages at work, it's all denominated in dollars. It's all denominated in Federal Reserve notes. So I'm really hoping that by putting goldbacks out there, by developing this technology, that we can work toward a money system where we're not constantly downgrading our standard of living in order to fund you know, endless wars, endless welfare, yeah, endless reckless spending. That's, you know, it's a hidden tax. You know, all the money
Absolutely.
That they produce, $4 trillion in debt, all this money that they print, the value comes from somewhere, and it comes from your wages and it comes from your savings, and it reduces your standard of living. It's not free.
Let's bring up usdebtclock.org since you mentioned this. So here we are, $34 trillion in debt right now. And by the way, $4 trillion of that debt was added, I think, in the last year, was it? I mean, it's gone insane. This number, I think at the end of Obama's term, was only about $16 trillion or something, maybe $17 trillion. So it's almost doubled since then in what, 8 years, roughly, a little bit less? That's crazy. That's not sustainable. And then if you go down here to this number, you see this? This is U.S. unfunded liabilities. That's $212 trillion, folks. That's what, $632,000 per citizen. Do you have an extra 600 grand sitting around to cover the unfunded liabilities? Probably not. So this, what usdebtclock.org is showing is that this system of money printing is headed for a catastrophic collapse. And it's my opinion, although I encourage our listeners, do your own, you know, research, get your own financial advisors, whatever. But it's my opinion that the dollar, the collapse of the dollar is imminent. Just like throughout history, you know, we saw every currency that was hyperinflated like this, just printed endlessly, just ended up going to zero. This isn't going to be any different. In my
even view. If it's not imminent, even if you're wrong and inflation is only 10 or 15% a year, that's still devastating to everybody.
Well, yeah, exactly. It is. And by imminent, I don't mean tomorrow. I mean, in terms of history, it's imminent. It could be the next couple of years, but on that time scale, you know, the end of the dollar approaches rapidly. But after that happens, you know, most people holding dollars will lose everything. They will be wiped out.
And I think,
yeah.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, wise people are converting dollars into real assets. And that, yeah, that's precious metals. And for some people, that's land. And for some people, that's, you know, diesel fuel or whatever, or a tractor. But gold is universal, you know? Everybody knows what it is. You don't have to explain it. In fact, when I hand these out to people, I don't have to say anything. They're like, wow, that's beautiful. What is it? I want some. Like, that's it. And then I tell them what it is. It's got real gold in it. And then they're like, whoa, you're kidding me. Wait, how? Tell me more. You know, that's how these conversations go.
You know, I got an interesting conversation with somebody about the technology behind gold backs. And, you know, they're telling me that central banks are really worried because, you know, they can see all the same data that you see. You know, they want to roll out central bank digital currencies. But what they have right now is they have the currency that everybody uses, but they're not guaranteed that that's the future. They're not guaranteed that their thing is going to work. In fact, there's a lot of evidence that shows that it probably won't work. Now, the central banks, they don't own any Bitcoin. I mean, not really. But they do own something like a fifth or a fourth of the world's gold reserves.
Yes.
Now, if you're a central bank, you'd think that you'd be really excited about a technology like Goldback because nobody trusts the central banks to put us back on a gold standard. We don't trust them because if they put us back on a gold standard, we don't really know that the gold is in their vaults that backs what they made.
Right.
And the last time they promised that, they broke that promise.
Right.
Even the BRICS nations right now, they're saying, oh, well, you know, maybe we'll make this gold currency. Okay, great. Now you all have to trust each other that you're really vaulting the gold.
That's right.
That's a huge problem. So coming out with gold backs and saying, hey, you can actually have a cash-like form of gold that has never been done before in human history and has never been counterfeited, and we're, you know, two decades ahead of counterfeiting, and we're adding constant new security features – that's really hopeful, not just for individuals and not just for small businesses. It's hopeful for humanity because the central banks actually own gold where they could use this technology someday when all their other stuff breaks. And that's great for everybody.
Well, yeah, true. But I need to point out, I mean, for a lot of these central banks, it's digital clearing, right? They're clearing transactions digitally across borders and so on. So how would they do that? Would they have like gold backed deposits to back
have to have
a digital transaction or what?
And probably
wouldn't that be the same issue though? They would have to prove those deposits just like they have to prove other gold.
Maybe. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, behold, out there where all of the cash in the world could be replaced by something like a gold back. We wouldn't run out of gold, and that wouldn't even change the price of gold. We would have enough gold as it is with what's in central bank holdings. Now, whether they fractionally lend things that are in their system or if they hold it all, yeah, I don't know how that would shake out. But I imagine if you're a central bank and you had gold and you didn't have Bitcoin and you lost everybody's trust, that this technology behind Goldback might end up being really appealing. And I've met central bankers that are interested in this because I think they know that they've kind of painted themselves into a corner and they're trying to figure out how they're going to be relevant in 20 years from now.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Because see, the way I see this, Jeremy, is that the best technology for remote transactions, instant electronic, that's privacy crypto. The best technology for local transactions or having your assets saved in a way that works offline, that's instantly usable because of the divisibility, that's goldbacks. So I own crypto and I own goldbacks, and I see them as complementary for different use cases.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a niche for both. I don't know a lot of people that are pro goldback that are anti crypto.
Right.
Other than people that, you know, they don't want to go through the crypto learning curve and they don't trust that the electricity is going to stay on.
Yes.
You know, if you don't trust the electricity is going to stay on, you really ought to have goldbacks. But again, they're different, but they're both in the space of, if you're concerned about the dollar or having wealth in the dollar long term, you should be looking at goldbacks and you should be looking at crypto.
Absolutely. Completely agree. All right. Well, Jeremy, we're out of time for today. Thanks for bringing us the explanation about the Liberty dollar fiasco and helping to distinguish the goldbacks from that. And I'm really glad that you've done all that research and that you're very careful and you're not trying to replace the dollar. You know, you're not trying to confuse anybody. No one's going to look at goldbacks and say, well, gosh, these are dollars. No, that's not going to happen. So I think you've thought through this very carefully. And I think goldbacks have a really strong future.
I think so, too. It's deeply ironic to me that the technology behind the goldback can end up saving central banks just because they own so much gold. Right. And that's definitely not where I started on this journey. But, you know, we'll see. I think programs and systems and projects where, you know, everybody wins, you know, they tend to do better. And, you know, as an experimental complementary currency, the goldback is doing extremely well now, where we've just seen exponential growth since it's come out. People are getting excited, and they should. You know, I think this is going to be the future technology of money.
I can see local communities running on goldbacks, especially as the dollar collapses or there's a banking crisis or bank holidays, bank bail-ins. What are people going to use? You know,
it's already happening. There's already entire communities that run off goldbacks.
Wow. Well, maybe next time we can talk about that.
You'll
let's do that.
Come back.
Okay. All right. Well, we're out of time for today, but it's always fascinating talking with you, Jeremy, and I'm really glad that you have thought through these issues. So thanks for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate you having me. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you. All right, folks, the website again is verifiedgoldbacks.com. That's our affiliate site that helps support this platform, and it gets physical goldbacks into your hands. And they are beautiful. They're different sizes, by the way, as you can see here. The 50 is quite large. It's thick. It's heavy. It's got 51/1000ths of an ounce of gold in it. And if you want to, you can melt it down and you can see. I mean, you'll destroy it, but the gold can't be destroyed by melting. So you can pull out the gold like I did here, and you'll have your little gold BB if you own a kiln and you just want to do that for whatever reason. But I'm doing it for you, by the way, and checking all these. All the different denominations. And so far, the checks have come back with greater than 100% recovery. So that's great news. So check out verifiedgoldbacks.com. And thank you for watching today here on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. God bless you all. God bless America. Take care. I want to show you what we have put together here in terms of our really popular, now wheat-free, certified organic, lab-tested macaroni and cheese meal mixes. I'm got them on my desk here. The way we sell them, it's in a mini bucket format. You see the bottom ones there. And inside each bucket, are three of these packs right here, which is, you know, vacuum packed. It's nitrogen flooded and then vacuumed in a very rugged, long-term stable bag. This is wheat free. It's made out of amaranth as well as quinoa. And so this holds its shape and texture and tastes really great. It's not like gritty and mushy like whole wheat macaroni tends to be. So we have this, and then this is a cheese pack that's also very durable, rugged packing. And this, you know, no garbage, no artificial colors, no fillers, nothing like that. And in the cheese pack are very simple certified organic ingredients. Check it out. Organic white cheddar powder, organic heavy cream powder, organic butter powder, organic whey protein powder, organic onion powder, and organic black pepper powder. And that's it, folks. There's no fillers, no artificial flavors, no artificial colors. I mean, no colors of any kind actually in it. And it's very easy to make. It's extremely delicious. Now, it does not have any salt added. We did that on purpose because we wanted people to be able to salt it according to your own taste. So for those having a low sodium diet, you can easily incorporate this. I mean, check the nutrition facts label. It still does have sodium naturally in the cheese, but we did not add any salt. So it can be incorporated into a low sodium diet if that's something that you're paying attention to. For the rest of us, I add salt to this, by the way, and I don't normally add salt to anything, but this is so low in the salt because we didn't add any salt to the recipe that I think you actually have to add a little bit of salt to bring out the flavor and make it taste really delicious. And then it does when you add a little bit of salt to it. So this is all you got to do is boil water. You know, you boil the elbows for 5 to 10 minutes, and then you add in the cheese powder, you stir it in, you're done. And it's super delicious. This is a really great preparedness meal. I think you'll really love this. We also have, this is very popular. It is an organic banana, peanut butter, and chocolate instant superfood shake. Now, this product, which is available in various quantities, if you go to our store, you can just buy, you know, one canister, or you can buy them in groups. This also is very delicious, but very simple. Look at the ingredients. Organic whey protein powder, banana powder, also organic, peanut butter powder, cocoa powder, coconut sugar, which is a low glycemic sweetener. And that's it, folks. It's all organic. It's laboratory certified. It's super delicious. It blends with water or other kinds of milks. You know, it could be a nut milk or a cow's milk or whatever you want. It's delicious, hot or cold. And it's incredibly nutritious and very clean because we do all the testing. So these are two relatively new products, well, brand new actually, that are in stock right now, at least at the moment, and will probably be sold out of them pretty quickly, but we'll make more. It just takes time to source all these ingredients. It took us many months to get the cheddar cheese powder and the organic cream powder, the butter powder, and the whey. I mean, frankly, all the animal products are taking a very long time to get sourced right now, but we're doing the best we can. We have these available, super delicious. And this is just the first of many kind of instant meals that we're formulating right now. So macaroni and cheese is one of many that we'll have soon. We're going to have different kind of soups, like a lentil soup and also an organic chili product. And they're all going to be based on the same kind of philosophy. Clean, simple, lab-tested ingredients with no artificial anything whatsoever, and also very lower sodium compared to what's typically out there. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to just eat a bunch of salt and MSG. You know, that's what a lot of storable food is, just a bunch of salt and sugar and MSG and textured vegetable protein garbage. And we're not into that, not at all. This is real food, real nutrition, real taste, and it's available right now at healthrangerstore.com. Just go there. You can search for peanut butter to find our chocolate banana peanut butter shake. Or if you want the macaroni and cheese, just go to healthrangerstore.com and search for the organic wheat-free macaroni and cheese with no salt added. Or check out our hundreds of other products, such as, like, you can look at herbs right here. All these different categories, different herbs and tinctures. We have garden seeds. We have superfoods. We have personal care products. Here we have organic turmeric gold extract. We have the knives, the Dawson knives. I've co-designed these with Dawson knives. You probably heard about these. This is under preparedness. survival gear. We've got, well, let me just show you. We've got all the different knives right here made of the corrosion resistant Magna Cut alloy. Mass Ratio is one very popular. That's back in stock now. Consequences Covert Knife and more. We've got other knives available, including Escape from LA. Hey, I wonder, is that sold out? Hard to keep in stock. But check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. This is how you can support us. And then we give back to you in a multitude of ways with knowledge, with empowerment, with the large language model we're going to be giving away here soon, coming up end of March, with all the interviews and all the things that we do. Plus, we just made a $100,000 donation to Convoy of Hope of non-GMO vitamin C. So when we are able to, we buy an extra large batch of raw materials, and then we use our in-house manufacturing and testing, and we will overproduce certain batches, knowing that we can use Convoy of Hope to distribute them to people in need. And that it's a Christian-based ministry that distributes food and supplements. And we've worked with them several times now. And just the other day, $100,000 worth of vitamin C. So that's going out into the hands of people in need across America. Sometimes they distribute to other nations, but they focus on the United States of America. And we will continue to support people in need anywhere that we can. Remember that our slogan is Health Ranger Store, healing the world with clean food. That's our philosophy. That's what we practice. That's what we preach. That's what we do. We do the lab testing. We manufacture clean, simple ingredients that are authentic and pure and tasty. It's like nothing else that you've ever seen in the processed food industry or the processed storable food industry. And a lot of the survival food out there is just heavily processed garbage. I'm sorry to say, that's just honest truth of what it is. You want real food? Come to healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighttown.com and the Health Ranger Store. Take care.